B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Man, it's tough, though. We've had a tough start to 2020. I still believe that stuff's going to turn around.
Got some luck with the Flyers last night. Marchand.
Yeah. Just a good win, though.
Missing the puck. Yeah. Three unanswered goals.
Travis Sanheim. Boston's a great team.
Yeah. The top team in their division.
Yeah, Boston's legit. Mike in Hatboro, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mikey?
Oh, what's going on? My embedded reporter on the road.
Yeah, buddy.
Getting back to your Chicago and New York days. Is that correct, Anthony?
That is correct, Michael.
Oh, my God. So are you, like, in with the team and hooked up and having all these? Are you writing a book or what's the drill with this? That's awesome that you're out there, but what caused this?
Yeah, it's a big project. It's a book project.
Well, good luck with it.
Thanks,
and
brother.
I hope it's on the big silver screen and
yes.
Some silly shout outs in there.
It really could be, but, you know, they got to win. Otherwise, there's no book and there's no silver screen.
Cuz embedded reporter.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm taking issue with you. I love you.
Yeah.
First thing, quick side note, TJ's little sound up microphone from Indiana, TJ McConnell,
mm-hmm.
was funny. I don't know if you heard it on Twitter. It's really good. He's attacking Korkmaz's shoes. Because what's with those things? Did he lose a bet to wear them? There was some really fun stuff on that. I love the kid. He's got big brass cojones. I love the kid.
Yeah, that's great.
But here's where I take issue with you.
Yeah, buddy.
Come on yesterday. You are my Italiano emotional guy. And you're like, you are. No offense, my opinion. That your show, your rules, but let me get this out. You are a bit of an apologist. Anybody who's going to call up here and say, trade Ben, trade Joe, get rid of the coach, I'm on your side. That's stupid. Don't waste our airwaves with that. But you dismiss the season, buddy. You're out of both for 16. No, it's too early.
No, listen, I'm not trying to come across that. I'm just giving you, here's where I am. I'm not an apologist. I'm a pighead.
Don't say that.
No, I am. Now, here's why. Capodosta is a hard head. I'm a pighead. So what I believe is what I believe. Listen, Brett Brown, Elton Brand, I respect those guys. I like those guys, whatever. They could tell me something, and if I believe something else, I believe something else. So whether it's a caller or whether it's a coach, if I believe it, I'm going to argue to the death. So it makes me a pighead.
You know, there's an expression in Italian, and it goes like this. Tra il dire e il fare, c'è di mezzo il grande mare. So my wife taught it to me, and it's like this. Between what you're promising and what you deliver, in the middle, there's a grand ocean.
Yes,
you know?
That's a good say.
And the bottom line,
and that's your regular season.
Hype are too much and not delivering. And the bottom line is Ben doesn't need to shoot threes, but man, he was amazing in the first half of the Dallas.
I know.
You tell me if I'm right. Amazing last night. I didn't even watch the national championship till the Sixers was over. I got my sync up with Tom McGinnis, the greatest announcer in all the NBA with the TV. And then he did things in the first half that I literally was like screaming at the TV, like, this kid is amazing.
Yeah, no, you're so right. He's got to pull up.
But
in
what happened in the second half,
yeah.
Anthony?
Yeah, they
sleep on me.
They back. What happened is you collapse, right? And now that leaves you with a pull up. You got to come on. You got to pull up and shoot the ball.
Well, wait a minute. Why can't he keep attacking the rim even if he doesn't pull up?
Well, no. They packed in. You saw last night. No, but you saw last night where they packed it down low, so it begs for a pull up there.
True. And the panic closing possessions are on Brett, I think.
Yes.
I mean,
you're right.
There's no basketball IQ at the end of games. There's none.
Yeah.
And I question whether Ben wants all the I'm the superstar trappings, but part of me says he doesn't want that.
Yeah.
You know, like wide receivers want the ball, you know, I want to be the star. part of me is he's brilliant, but why?
He's not, and Mike, good stuff. He's not a finished product. He's not. I mean, I hear you. At some point, I hope he becomes that, or else this is what he is. But you're right. He's not a finished product yet. And listen, how I come across, I know I'm a pighead at times. I try to work on it. I know I can be stubborn. Who I believe is what? Like, I was a Wentz stubborn. We used to fight about Wentz. I'm going to always do that. That's just being honest. It's not about being an apologist. I mean, I don't really care. Like, I care. I do want them to win. I think that goes without saying. Like, I want all four teams to win. And I have a special heart in my place, a special place in my heart for these guys. But what I've always believed in, I give you what I believe in. I love sports. Like, I love it. Love it. Like, I die with it. I live it. I all day long, I care about it. But I can be a pighead. Like, I know my own. I know at this age, I know my own flaws.
But you also do point out the players' flaws. Like, you know that. You've pointed out that Ben needs to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I appreciate you trying. But I get it. You know, like, I just don't want. Like, yesterday when it came to Simmons and we were fighting about it, I'm not trading him. I still think he's going to get it. I do. It's the same way where I can't, like, I can't give up on him yet. Like, I can't do it. I can't give up on this kid at this age. I still think he's got tremendous ability. Like, I agree. Second half, you know, he disappears. He didn't, the pull-up that he needs to get. Because when teams counteract him and wall him off, I agree. I see the same thing you guys see, you know. But I can't give up on him. Maybe that's a flaw. I don't know. But I can't. Ramon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ramon.
Yo, what's going on, Plazon? How you be, man?
What's up, Ramon?
Hey, man. I'm just sitting up here listening to the calls. I haven't watched since I put Real Talk. I haven't listened to sports talk since the Celtics game. Because I know the hate that was coming, the negativity. I know how we are in the city. You know how we be. But first point, guys, I'm with you. I'm not trading an all-star who's going to be a superstar. You can forget that. He's an all-star who's going to be a superstar. 23 years old. Ben is what Ben is. It's going to be frustrating, but it's going to be worth it in the end. So, no, he's not going nowhere. He's not going
nowhere. I hope so for
he's not going
sake.
Nowhere. Ben, I'm not trading him, man. I'm not trading him.
Yeah.
If I go down and shit with him, yo, yeah. I got you. You know what I mean? We're going down together with this. But I know what I see because he shows up when I'm not trading Ben, period. You know, there's far more. And people don't look at the logistics of it. It's not really I want to tell on Ben, but when he's in the lineup, to have what you have, you create mismatches in ways that affect the other team bench-wise. I mean, the strategy is when he's there at 6'1", you got to stick him. You always got a mismatch with him because as long as you got what you have, that length and that type of lineup, you know, and just that one added feature that we want him to do, and it's going to get there. It's get there. But enough with Ben. Ben's going to be Ben. People going to love him or hate him, but I'm not trading him. But the offense, when I see the team now, I look back, and you probably agree with me on this, because I look at the last year Doug was here. That team couldn't throw it in the ocean if they were on the beach, man. Their offense was really rough to look at, but they played hard D. But they got, you know, Doug squeezed what he could out of them. This team is playing like that offensively, and they're way more talented than that. Somewhere there's some kinks in that chain that need to get oiled, and I don't know how Brett got to figure it out.
Yeah,
but you got to figure it out because there's no motion at times. It just they stop. They people kind of unsure what they need to do at the right point.
Yeah,
in time.
I think you're right, and I think It's really, really difficult at times.
Yeah.
Because you have, so Joe's been in and out of the lineup, right? Everybody's trying to come up their roles.
Right.
And the only one that I think is aggressive about his role is Jay Rich.
Jay Richardson, exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say that. And he continues that. And I love
that's where Tobias and even Horf and Al's got to do the same thing.
They got to get selfish.
I agree. I think you're dead right about that.
Maybe the two of them can run pick and rolls or do something. Two of them just like, yo, man, this is what we're going to do. Al, I'm going to do this. They got to feed off each other.
I agree, Ramon.
And D-Rose, I like that because when you get somebody off the bench and with them not getting to the line, you need somebody to keep the other.
And he's been through the war. I like Derrick Rose too. Like he's been through the war. Thanks, brother. He's been through the wars. He's tough. I mean, that's a guy that I would love to get. Who's available? Who's back playing? Who's healthy? I would love to get him. 610-632-0975. See, it's funny. People talk about trading Horford. I think it's too soon to bail on the lineup. I think you got to play the whole thing out. And the one thing, if you can somehow get this thing right, when you play Milwaukee, you will beat Milwaukee because you're going to run Simmons, Horford and Embiid at Giannis. And you will frustrate Giannis. You can beat Milwaukee.
Just like you did on Christmas Day.
You can. Let's talk about your roof for a second.
Anthony!
You need a roof. You go see my guy. See, I'm a pig head all the time, right? So here's what I do know. I know that Anthony Labruciano is the best roofing person in all of Pennsylvania. That's right. Anthony Labruciano Roofing. As soon as you meet him, you're going to fall in love. You're going to realize why he's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. He meets with every single customer personally to be certain that you get the right roofing solution to protect your home for decades. And Labruciano Roofing is a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, which means they can offer the best warranty in the business. 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years in the workmanship. Look, your home's roof is too important to trust with a jack of all trades. Go with the only roofing expert I recommend, Labruciano Roofing. Here's how you remember his name. Just say it. Labruciano, 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 Labruciano. Call 610-265-ROOF or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros.com. Labruciano Roofing, the master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Doug and I trading size. Howard in Reading, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Howard?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
So, I got a question. How do you play bully ball with a nice coach and nice players?
Well, I mean, I think your size, I hear where you're going. I mean, your size should be enough to play. Like, you're not playing, like, I'm thug ball, I'm going to stab you. But yeah, I think you could play bully ball because of your size and physicality, right?
But if you don't impose that size or that physicality, it's useless. It's like, I have a 90-pound shepherd and a 10-pound cat. That 90-pound shepherd will go to that cat, and she will beat the living hell out of him. So his size doesn't matter. She looks at him, it's like, come on, bring it on. And now my shepherd's like, whoa, that little biatch.
Right.
She's got a lot of spunk in her. She's 10 pounds.
Right.
She acts like she's a mountain lion.
Right.
You know, and he backs off saying, whoa, okay, I think I'll leave her alone. And you're old enough for this, Anthony. The Pistons.
Yes.
They played bully ball.
Yes, I agree. They're bad boys, yep.
Yes, if you went in there, they would knock your block off and then tell you about it. I mean, if you could have put their parents on that court, their grandparents on that court.
Yeah, no, you're right. And to your point, like when you have a team like Saturday night against the Mavericks, when you have a team like that and they're in the penalty, you just got to attack them and attack.
How many times has that happened this season where they get a team in foul trouble and then they let off the gas?
You know what's weird? Do you remember the first game of the season against the Celtics?
Mm-hmm.
They went to the line like 26 times in that game. They frustrated the hell out of the Celtics that game. They kept feeding the ball down low. They kept getting fouled. And I thought that that's how it was going to be all year.
Right, but they stopped.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, don't know. Like, here's the thing. Like, Tobias has to, because he is such an important wing player on this team. Like, I think he can't just settle for jump shots. I think, and he had, there are games when he's really involved and all. He can't, especially without Embiid, he has to be pronounced. And I think you're right about, Horford needs to give you a little something because he's a veteran and he's a really good defender and he's a guy that needs to show some fangs.
Right. And you had Charles on a while ago.
Yes.
And Charles is like, hey, they're all good players, but they're all nice.
Yeah.
They're all, they'll knock you down, but then they'll give you the hand to pull you back up. Instead of just turning their back and walking away, say, yeah, get up your stuff.
It is interesting. I mean, are they too nice of a group? I don't know.
I think so. And I have just a question that I've always wanted to ask somebody, and you're the football expert here. So you have a, 60-man roster when you count your practice squad, I guess. It's almost 60 men. And then game time, you're only allowed to activate, 48 out of 54 or whatever that number is. Why?
Well, that's just the rule. I mean, it's the foolish rule to me. They should. I agree with you. Like, you know what's funny? Like, to me, they should all be active. So, yeah. In other words, especially where, Sudfeld. Like, why if Josh McCown's out, why can't you have your third quarterback active? I agree with you. I think it's a problem.
Get paid less.
Right. And now here's the deal. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see some of that change when they change around. In the new CBA, when they're going to add an extra bye week, and they're going to try to get another game, right? So when you see that and they expand rosters, I think coaches will ask for that. I think players will ask for that, too.
Right,
more
right,
jobs, right. Yeah, more active jobs. Like, yeah, I agree with you.
I'm like, well, what's the point of it? Because it's not like you're playing player X. Well, he's not active. Well, instead of giving him his $100,000 game check, now he's going to get a $75,000.
I get you.
They're all on the sideline anyway.
No, I hear you, brother. I get you. Let's go to Joe. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, cuz?
What's going on, Joe?
But that Eagles thing, my impression was that you can't have 100 people on the sidelines in the locker room on game day. That's why they cut the rosters down like that.
But not for that, though, because there's 53. I mean, you could have that kind of – I mean, look at college. They got 1,000 guys on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, it's like having a JV varsity and a freshman.
Yeah.
But my thing with the Sixers, cuz, with the bully ball thing is my thing is this, like the guy said a couple of calls ago, what I was doing will be, it ain't no bullying Elton. But my thing with the Sixers is, even when Joel is out there blocking shots and Ben is locking down guys and you playing bully ball and they look at the clock, they still down 3. I mean, they playing wonderful defense, they look at the clock, they still up about 2 or 3 points. I mean, in today's NBA, like you're talking about the Pistons, in today's NBA, you're not winning games 80-85 and 88-80. These guys nowadays, they score too much. And I think, they're too proud, good scorers nowadays to think you can lock teams down like that. And when the Sixers, when they shoot struggling 3-pointers, they're trying to catch up because they know they're playing good. They are playing good D, but you can't get a run on anybody. And, you know, Embiid is the only – in them Detroit days, Isaiah Thomas could put the ball in the hole. Joe Dumars could put the ball in the hole. One of the Sixers, without Embiid, nobody else. Tobias to hit a three, miss three in a row. You know what I mean? They'll go brick for brick with teams, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes. You have to be able to score. And I think that they don't have – I mean, on that perimeter, they just don't. Tobias is more of a 35%. He's more of the NBA average.
I think he's more of a mid-range guy. I think the game that he is more Rip Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kind of think he is.
And at the end of the games, no matter what we say about Jimmy, he is not going to dribble the ball off his foot. Nobody's going to steal the ball from him going to the hole and all that nonsense at the end of the games. I mean, that's why I think Milwaukee series was so close. I mean, because Jimmy could put the ball in the hole when needed.
Yeah, but you look at this team, though. Look at the way they match up.
Yeah.
I do think they beat Milwaukee. I think this team beats Milwaukee. I think those three guys, like what you saw Christmas Day, was not an aberration.
Yeah. They can say Giannis down, of course. You know what I mean? And they can contain him.
It's weird, right? Because you look at Boston. They beat Boston 3 times this year. They beat them without Embiid the last time.
Yeah, they got their number this year.
I mean, like, just because of how their length, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. They're an anomaly. Like, this is what leads me to believe. That's why, you know, the other guy got on me for saying built for 16, but I don't know. That's kind of how they feel to me.
Yeah. And Milwaukee, when they had the crazy 3-point shooting game, see, I think that's where they cut their nose off a little despite their face with the bully ball. I mean, if you can hit, you know what I mean? I know you didn't like Russell at the free agency, but that's why I think a player like that can more help. You can give him better runs off. You can blow games open.
Who'd you want?
I had liked the Russell at the for you know, I think he was a perfect replacement for JJ. I mean, you know, for as a shooter, you know, to shoot the ball for Sixers. I just think, you know, the fact that Ben is not a shooter.
Who? Westbrook?
No, Russell. I had one of
Russell. Oh, D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, I would like him in a bed.
For who?
I mean, to replace JJ last year.
Yeah, but you weren't going to get him for that. I mean,
no, I'm talking about a free agency. You
instead of Tobias.
Heck yeah. I mean, he's a shooter for real.
Yeah, I hate D'Angelo Russell. I'm sorry.
I mean, he's not a defensive player.
You know what it is, like too?
That.
He can't get his own shot. Like, he's not getting his own shot. He's a spot.
He's a perimeter shooter and a 3-point shooter.
Well, he's not getting his own shot, though. My point is that he's a spot up.
No, you don't think.
Listen, there are times when, like, yeah, he can shoot off the dribble. But when you clamp him down, he's done. He's soulless in the playoffs.
I mean, that's because after New Jersey didn't have any front court. They didn't have any front court.
I'm just saying, you get in his grill, you can shut him down. I'm just not a big fan of his.
I don't think they had nobody can blow games open. You know what I mean? JJ was a label that allowed him to blow games open. I mean, he's no joke.
They've blown out teams.
Yeah, they have blown out teams, but with the defense they play, with the bully ball defense they play, they can't blow teams away. They can't. That's why they get caught shooting threes. It's frustrating playing tough D, and you still up three or down three.
I don't know. It's a great question. I don't have the answer right now. I'm taking all theories. I don't have the answer right now. I'm not giving you, like, you know, I'm omnipotent. But I just look at it like this, right? So I go, They match up in a certain way against Milwaukee. They can beat Boston. Like, where does the regular season end and the playoffs begin in this sense? I feel everybody's frustration as much as you guys do. I see the same thing. What's the fix? So I start to think about what's the fix. So is the fix to fix the bench? Like, I fix the bench and get some scoring, then I don't need to start the fourth quarter with Korkmaz, Neto, Pell, Scott, and Jay Rich. Like, I got D. Rose playing along with Jay Rich. Right? And then when Embiid comes back, I finally got players, right? So I can manage. If you look at the game itself, right? So you have that window early in the second quarter before you close out with your starters. You have that window at the end of the third quarter and early in the fourth quarter. And that's where I'm losing a lot of my leads, right? I'm losing a lot of my leads during that spot, during those periods of the game, which leads me to go back to the bench. Everybody who says they can't shoot the ball, I agree. Like, you're shooting too many threes. Yeah, I'm with you. But go back to, what if you did add some bench pieces? Does that make everything better?
It helps. I mean, part of the one of their biggest issues is the second quarter. And that's when, like you just mentioned.
And the end of the third. Second. Like that period from the end of the third quarter to the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Because there's such a drastic drop-off in talent from this. And it happens. There's a drop-off for every team. But to not really have a competent scorer off the bench is a problem. And you lose so much in Ben Simmons when he goes off the court because the defense that he plays. Obviously, you're missing Embiid because of the injury. But it's not even like guys coming off the bench are lockdown defenders. Like, Ennis is a good defender.
He is a good defender. I mean,
Mike Scott plays tough.
Uh-huh.
But Neto's not good at defense. And Trey Burke's not good at defense. Korkmaz is bad at defense. Mm-hmm. And then couple that with not scoring.
Right. You know, and I agree with you. When you don't score and you miss threes, you lose. You're a net loss. Your plus minus is minus.
Right.
In that spot.
It's kind of tough to couple bad offense with bad defense. You know, they come off the bench.
See, you know what's funny? Everybody goes, and I'll off the text board. So let's have a conversation about this because it's about the game itself. So my buddy Danny says, in a league that is now built around guard play and pace, why do we have so much invested in the center position? So the reason is that you have gone in a completely different avenue than the rest of the league, which I like. I like that. I like being big. And I can't let 7-14 on the road deter me from what I'm thinking. You know, and you can't be confused by Pell because he's like, oh my God, Pell's playing there. No. Norvell Pell's a nice kid, you know, he's not playing any, you know, he can rim protect a little bit while Joe's off, but he's not playing any significant minutes in games that matter. I still think the answer is twofold. You got to help your bench out. You got to streamline your offense better. Those guys got to figure out their roles. Al Horford's has to figure out where he's most comfortable. And Tobias got to get nasty. Got to be more selfish, Tobias. See, Jay Rich is the only one right now who can play something. Like, he knew that there was, in the fourth quarter last night, that he had to do it. He knew he had to do it. And I give him credit for seizing a moment. But Tobias needs to also, in that fourth quarter, be completely aggressive and a little more selfish. And they need to attack more.
Question is, does he have that in him? I mean, how often do we see it?
You know, I mean, I hear you, but, you know, we all thought he had a little bit more ceiling, right? A little more growth. This is where you got to show it. All right, we got it for the first time all day. Got a couple open lines, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We'll get to everybody straight ahead. And I see Tyrone. I need you, Ty. I haven't seen you. We got to chat.
By the way.
Yes.
A little bit of news.
What we got?
Chad Johnson is trying out for the XFL.
Oh, is he really?
As a kicker. He's like a legit tryout.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
Well, you remember he was a soccer guy.
Yes. I'll keep you posted on Chad Johnson's future in the XFL.
Sure.
Which I'm fired up for.
Sure. Hey, it's no secret that I'm 4-for-4 proud, right? Raised here, proud to be 4-for-4 man. Parks Casino and Sportsbook is my 4-for-4 choice sportsbook for all of our 4-for-4s. You love the home teams, and the home teams at Parks Casino is right there in Bucks County. The only sportsbook run by the number one ranked casino all of Pennsylvania. Look, we got the conference championship games coming up. So many ways you can wager on the games. You get the spreads and props and parlays and teasers, live in-game betting. Plus, we got all the fly boys. We got college and the NBA, the whole thing. They also have MMA and European soccer leagues. That's right, my home team, the Parks Casino and Sportsbook, right in Bucks County. Street Road, Ben Salem. Download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app now. Or if you're on Android, go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code QB500. That's right, new promo code QB500. And get your first risk-free bet up to $500. Your risk-free bet is refunded as a free bet in site credit. Use the Cuz 4-for-4 promo code QB500. And get your first risk-free bet to $500. That's it. My sportsbook of choice, Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Earlier today with Anthony Gargano.
You lack the true firepower off the bench that you need. Just look at the box score. I mean, I look at it, I'm going, all right, well, like, where's your scoring coming from without a beat? I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to trade Ben Simmons, and they're not going to fire Brett Brown, all right? So let's not waste our time on that stuff. Let's talk about, you know, possible solutions, who you want to bring in. I got a couple names that I think would be good to bring in off the bench.
That show recap was brought to you by Deaton Watson. Serve your guests the best with a deli tray from a Real Philly Deli. We use Deaton Watson premium meats and cheeses. For a location near you, visit realphillydeli.com.
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Hanging out. Not the to start the 2020 that I was hoping for. Kenny in Wilmington. Kenny, what do you say, brother?
Anthony, how are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, question. Did you ever get that book I sent to you?
I did. I got it.
Just want to make sure.
Yes, thank you, Kenny.
No problem. You know what? With Sixers, tell people to calm down. With a healthy Embiid, they could beat anybody in the playoffs. So it'd be more difficult, but it is what it is. They're not going to finish first, but they match up well against Milwaukee, Boston. The team that scares me is Toronto because they just seem to match better and play them tougher. But everybody talks about bully ball, playing bully ball, length and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm concerned about the disconnect between the general manager and the coach, because all this coach ever talks about after a win or a loss is shooting more threes. Now, I think Elton and Brett need to get in a room and try to figure this stuff out. And it kind of goes to bringing bench people in. You talk about Derrick Rose. Well, yeah. What they have a guy in Trey Burke that can do what Derrick Rose would do, but he's playing with handcuffs on. You see him out there, it's like, well, let me make the pass, move, go stand in the corner. His offense limits creativity.
I hear you. You know what? I don't think you're wrong, completely wrong about that. I think you got a good point, Ken, about that and about relying on so much three ball, and I feel you on that. I think Derrick Rose is 10 times better than Trey Burke, though.
Well, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's an elite, not elite, but he is, or used to be. He's that kind of veteran, been through wars, tough, and he's back healthy now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But when you think about the bench that worked for him, I hate to say it, but you got to give Colangelo his props when he brought in
Bellinelli Sova.
Yeah, because he and Brett are on the same page with, all right, let's get the threes, stand at the corner, move off picks, and shoot.
Right.
And
let me ask you a question. Is that now they went on that tear, right? They won 17 to end the season. You remember they were on that crazy tear. But does that win in the playoffs? That style win in the playoffs?
Yeah. And that's why Toronto scares me, because Toronto's got a bunch of athletes. They get up in your
face. Yeah, Siakam, yep.
They fight over picks. They got the saw that'll take them beat out.
Mm-hmm.
And where's your scoring going to come from?
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, Van Fleet, they're still even without Kawhi, they're still dangerous. Although, I mean, think about it, Kenny. Ultimately, they take them to the brink last year with Kawhi, 4 bounces.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yep. Great stuff, my brother. Thank you. Always a pleasure. Chris in Wilmington. Hello, Chris.
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? I'm good, man. How are you?
All right.
Just 2 points. One about the Sixers as a team in general. The other one about Simmons. First, about the team. I think it's funny. The NBA regular season is probably the most polarizing in this city.
You know, yes.
You lose a game, and you trade everybody, fire Brett Brown. You win a game, and it's going to go to the finals. I think people just need to take a step back and stop focusing so much on the regular season. Not focus on it, but just understand that it's a different game in the playoffs. I mean, possessions are amplified, defense is magnified, it's more ramped up, the atmosphere is different, and the starters are going to play 37-38 minutes a night plus in the playoffs. I mean, their starting five is more talented than anybody in the Eastern Conference. And you before you went to break earlier, you had said something about it might have been somebody on the text board saying why do they build around the center if they want to, you know, talk about space and pace and all that. And I think your answer to that is they got to stop Giannis. I mean, and he's doing things to his game too to you know, not just having to attack the rim. And if you wall him off with Horford and Embiid, it's tough for him to get to the rim. And now he's starting to take jump shots. But that's to me, that's why they built around that, to stop a player like him, to frustrate him, like you kind of said.
Yeah, I also think that, and the fact when you start a team with two, unicorns, right? With Embiid and Simmons, you're not playing that traditional, you know, space and let's shoot threes, and you're a different type of team. You automatically have great length to you, right? So those two guys alone make you different.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're a defensive-minded team. I know this is a while ago, but opening night against, I think it was Boston.
It was Boston.
You saw how good defensively they were. I mean, that's the type of intensity you're going to see in the playoffs.
All right, so let me ask you a question. All right, so you and I see exactly the same way, okay?
Yeah.
We see it the same way. I brought up, you know, built for 16. We see how they match up because, like you said it perfectly, about every possession being amplified. Those are your words, and I agree 100%. But here's the problem. We sit here, and they're 7-14 on the road, and the fan base is losing faith. So how do you counteract that?
If you're the Sixers, how do you counteract that?
If you're me.
Oh, if you're a fan, how do you counteract that?
Because not everybody's like you.
That's overreacting to everything. That's what it is. I mean, people see, that's what I said, that's what I led with.
I know.
NBA is so polarizing. Just don't overreact to it so much. I mean, once I get into the...
All right, so what do you say to someone who says, well, you still need to finish with a top 2-3 seed, and you're now 7-14 on the road. You still got to win on the road.
I say wait till you start getting into March, early March and late February, until this team starts to amp it up. And it's a long season. You can't expect these guys every single night to go 110% wall to wall. You just can't. But before I go, let me just get one quick thing about...
Sure. And by the way, I agree with you there too. Go ahead.
Yeah, but Simmons. It makes me laugh every time I hear someone say trade him. But if people act like this guy's 33, he's 23. He's 23 years old. And if you're saying trade him, name me somebody else in the NBA who you would trade him for that can play defense the way he can, that can run the fast break the way he can, and that can do everything else in the half court that he can. obviously he doesn't shoot the ball. I'm not saying he can't shoot the ball. He just doesn't. But until you name me somebody that can do all of those things like he can.
Right, but I mean, we're not going to, I mean, you know, you start throwing Doncic and Booker's and, you know, stuff like that, and
no,
you go.
I understand, but it's,
yeah.
People, what I'm saying is this guy's not even in his prime yet. He's not towards the tail end of his career. People are ready to give up.
I know. I mean, listen, Chris, I swear to God, I didn't pay you, and you're not my brother.
I know.
So.
You're not.
But, no, I appreciate it, man, very much. Now, here's the thing. That guy and I saw things exactly the same way, but that does us no good. That does us no good because they are 7-14 on the road and people are worried, and I can't discount that. And while Chris can call me up and we and I can agree, I still, because I believe that. It's what you believe, right? It's if you believe that, and I already told you I'm a pig head. So I believe what I believe, and I do believe that they're built for the playoffs, but it doesn't help now.
Well, it's funny. What was the question I asked you about two breaks ago when I came in there? It's about Ben.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we all know that Ben needs a shoot. And I was like, tell me, this could be a dumb question, but does Ben Simmons know that he needs a shoot?
Yes, he does.
Well, I remember it goes back to the press conference at the end of the season last year that a lot of people took exception to. I understood why, where he basically said, I don't need the jump shot. I can get to the rim.
Yeah.
And he basically just wrote that off. He's like, yeah, I'm okay. I don't need to shoot.
You know, it's the weirdest thing. So last night, shoot around, right? Before the game, and this is warming up. And I'm watching him. And he takes five elbow jumpers and then goes to the other side and takes five elbow jumpers. And I'm just watching it. And I'm just like looking at 25 rise up and he looks fine. Now, you know, they didn't all go in, but whatever. It doesn't matter. And he looks fine. And it's so... They have that thought. Like, you ever find yourself just kind of lost a little bit? Like, you just, and I found myself lost in just watching him take elbow shots and thinking to myself, dude, just stop and pop a couple times, man. Please.
Like, you were watching him and you almost wanted to yell, do it in a game. Like, look,
well, right,
you got
not,
the form,
not
do
just
it.
Like, just to, you know, calm people down.
Right.
That's all.
Like, you wanted to grab him by the jersey. It's like, Ben, please.
Like, I'm begging you, man. Dude, just shoot that. Just
for my sanity.
For all, you know, for everybody's sanity. Yes. It's for everybody's sanity, right? Like, so people, and like, I don't, in the same vein as our last caller, like, I don't want to just slough this off as nothing. They do need to get it right. And there are issues, particularly offensively, that they got to figure out. I do think they need more scoring off the, some more scoring punch off the bench. Listen, you know, part of my belief that they come out of the East is predicated on there's only one really good team, and I think you match up against that team. But if this was the Western Conference, I wouldn't be feeling the same way. In all honesty. All right. The keywords, 1 o'clock. Wow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.